Metal. Or just plain indie rock. And any other genres that come our way. For the best in local music, a weekly calendar of upcoming shows, radio interviews, and a live band in the studio every week. Tune in every Thursday afternoons from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Motor Live Drive at 5 show, only on the station making waves, WHFR Dearborn.
The views and opinions expressed on the following pre-recorded show do not necessarily represent those of WHFR or Henry Ford Community College. Good afternoon, this is WHFR Dearborn. You're listening to Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. Today, my special guest is Peggy Sue Dyer. She is a certified transformational life coach and teacher, and she's also a practitioner of myomassology. So, Peggy, how are you, and thanks for doing the show.
Oh, I'm good, Mike. Thank you very much for asking me.
Oh, well, that's great. I'm glad you're here. Now, what is myomassology?
Myomassology, let me tell you what it stands for. Myo means muscle, mass means massage, and ology means the study of it. So Irene Gauthier came up with this name to better fit the modalities that we teach at Irene's Myomassology Institute. And it's massage therapy, but we put a lot more tools in our toolbox, if you may. So we take a lot of different electives, and it just gives us a better look, a picture at the body as a whole. And so we just have a lot of different modalities to choose from. And it's just not massage therapy. I look at it as a step above.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned a toolbox of different things that you get into and get involved with. What's in that toolbox?
Within the massage, we have everything from myofascial release that we teach. We teach energy balancing. There's also cranial sacral. We get into polarities. So we don't just do the physical body, but we also look at mind, body, and spirit. We also look at nutrition. And then we also do a lot of anatomy and physiology. So we're not just looking at how we do massage and perform it, but what we're actually performing it on and different things to look out for. So we have those different tools also that we may not apply to the body right away, but we have all this information in our heads that makes us a better therapist.
Mm-hmm. So you study movement and also body organs, how your body reacts to certain things?
We look at the anatomy and the physiology of the body, how the different systems work. So we study the 11 systems. We look at posture and gait. We look at the pathologies of the skin, especially the skin. We look at different medications that our clients may be on. So we really try to fill the whole gamut so when they do leave as myomassologists that they have a really good base to work from. Mm-hmm. And that's really important to us. So we know that they are, their hands are good, their minds are good, and we send out good therapists.
So when they come to you, are you able to tell, I guess, what is wrong with a person sometimes? I mean, maybe they're not aware of certain things, but you can sense them or feel them as you are working with clients?
A lot of times what we've become very aware of, especially lately, is body postural stuff, is looking at the body and seeing different tilts, rotations. So you may have a tilt of the head, you may have an elevation of the shoulder, you may have the legs are laterally rotated. So those are cues and clues on what we may feel or palpate when they're on the table. So when a lot of people will just work at spas, which you may not have to do that quite of that big of an orientation, you may just do like a health a health sheet on them. But these days, because we're doing so much more medical, we really do look at the body. We do actual structural evaluations, gait evaluations. And so they do, if they choose to, they do have the ability to go and perform those duties if needed in the position that they will hold.
Mm-hmm. But you don't offer any type of medical advice or anything like that?
Not at all. No, we are not physicians, and we do not. Mm-hmm.
I would imagine that's probably ripe for lawsuit, right. Potentially, anyway, and I know you don't want that.
No. Mm-hmm. That is definitely not our goal is to make everyone feel better, mm-hmm. hopefully in the end, and we do it as holistically as possible. Western medicine is great, mm-hmm. and we definitely take some guidelines from those, and it's nice that we get to work now, especially now, and meld those two together. Mm-hmm. We are not just Eastern and Western medicine anymore. We do blend mm-hmm. nicely with physical therapists. Because I used to work in an integrated health clinic, which we worked with physical therapists, we worked with doctors underneath a physician's script, mm-hmm. and also with acupuncturists. So, and those are the opportunities that the students have too, when they get out of Irene's too, to be able to go right into something like that and be able to stand on their own.
Mm-hmm. Right. I would imagine that's very important. But do you advise people perhaps on vitamins, things like that, different health alternatives?
No, not so much advice on any type of vitamins. We may, make a suggestion on maybe a different modality they may want to seek for whatever reason, but we are basically there as caregivers and to do our job as myomassologists to the best ability as we can, and physicians do their jobs and physical therapists do their jobs and we just do ours, and we just try to do the best job we can to mm-hmm. to meet the needs of individuals, because every individual is different and every student is different, and mm-hmm. so they'll bring themselves to the table, and it makes for a very nice session.
Mm-hmm.
We may offer a stretch, maybe we offer something, but we're really, physical therapists do that, MDs do the prescription and prescribing. So
right. So if you saw something that a person, I don't know, might be experiencing or anything, would you suggest they seek medical attention perhaps?
If I found that it was something that was way out of my realm, but because in sessions I was working under a physician at the time, and I noticed something on the lady's back, and so I automatically brought the physician in. But we also tell our students too that if you notice something, and if they have a physician, that either you recommend them to go to see their physician or you call that physician. Mm-hmm. Because they may not be able to see what is on their body. I mean, one of the things about massage, we do see the physical body. And so we may find things or see things that they may not know. So it is our job to make them aware of it, but maybe not give medical advice, but make them aware of the situation that they may be unaware of.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been doing this?
I graduated in 1996, went to school in 1995, so a little over 18 years.
Mm-hmm. That's quite a while.
That's quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, you must enjoy it. You wouldn't be doing it this long if you didn't.
I enjoy it a great deal. I found myself liking teaching right after I graduated, so I've been doing that for about a little over 17 years now. So,
mm-hmm.
And I find it a very rewarding mm-hmm. career.
So what inspired you to even become a myomassologist?
Well, I wanted to go back to college, actually. And so I was working as a maintenance supervisor, and I needed to get out of this unit because the lady was going to get a massage by her daughter who was going to school. And she said, Peg, you're pretty good with your hands. And I was actually looking to move out of that position. I was getting a little bit discouraged with the job as a whole. So she came, she found me on the property, and we talked, and I went to Irene's Myomassology Institute, decided to sign up within a week before the class started, not thinking that I really wanted to do massage,
mm-hmm.
thinking that I would much rather just go to college because of the job. I was working 50 hours a week. I just mm-hmm. couldn't fit in enough hours.
Right.
But I started working, going to school, and when I was at school, I hurt my ankle at the job really bad, and I twisted it. And when I went to class, and Irene said, "Well, in order for you to be able to get credit for this class, you're going to have to participate. So you can hobble around on your crutches, and you can." We were doing something called muscle mechanics.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that, and I fell in love with the apprenticeship. I thought, this is something I would really, really like to do. So I sought after the apprenticeship program. And I did go back to college, but it was more for anatomy and physiology. And so mm-hmm. I just furthered my, I just switched gears, went right into teaching and right into massage. And
right. So you went back to college to kind of supplement what you're doing right now.
Supplement, exactly. Mm-hmm. Right. And so right. I'll do that here and now and again. But mm-hmm. But mainly it's myomassology up until a little while ago. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of things do you teach at the Institute?
I personally teach the hands-on class. Mm-hmm. They have individual instructors for different things. Like, we have an anatomy instructor, and we have a pathology instructor, and we have a physiology instructor. We have multiple hands-on instructors, and so I have the opportunity to work with my students and doing the actual hands-on, mm-hmm. performing petrissage and effrelage and making sure that their body mechanics is good and all that.
Okay, can you describe some of those terms you just used? I mean, it kind of went past right. me, and I'm right. sure some of our listeners might not have picked up on that either.
There's two techniques that are extremely the basis of all massage, and one is petrissage, and that's the art of lifting the tissue up off of the body. It's more of a kneading, if you may.
Mm-hmm.
And effrelage, it can be done, it's a stroke, and it can be done either light or a little bit deeper. And those are our two main strokes that one of the first things that we learn are those two, because we can move through the body with both of those very quickly and very easily. And then we can add to it, but petrissage is actually the picking up of the tissue, which most people really, really like. And the effrelage can be done either on the skin very light or a little bit deeper, which affects more the deeper layers.
Mm-hmm. That's just a personal preference for each client, what they like?
It's a personal preference, but it's also how we perform massage. Mm-hmm. With effrelage moves, that's a lot of times we'll apply the cream or whatever we're using for the massage at the time. But those have been steadfast moves mm-hmm. throughout massage. And because they're a calming, they give a nice calming effect. And a lot of times that's why people come for massage, is more of a stress reducing. But they can be also used for a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm. Very briefly, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My special guest this month is Peggy Sue Dyer. She is a certified transformational life coach and teacher, and she's also a practitioner of myomassology. And we're talking about the myomassology part right now. What kind of oils and creams do you use?
Me personally, I use a cream. And the company that we're, the type that I use is a Biotone, and it has what they call an arnica, which is good for muscle tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And this cream absorbs pretty quickly, and it doesn't lend for a lot of glide. Because I notice in my massage that a lot of people like firm pressure, but what I've noticed is not so much the pressure, it's the friction or the application of the pressure, not so much the application of the pressure, but the friction of the tissue. So that's what type I use. Irene used to always use an oil, a very mm-hmm. light-based oil. But now we have so many different types of oils, creams, that there's a multitude of options. And when I first started, I started out with oil, but I find it not the best lubricant, if you might,
mm-hmm.
for the type of massage that I usually give, because it's usually not a relaxation. Mm-hmm. It's more of, you know, fix me kind of a thing.
Yeah,
so.
Right. Help me, please.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Whatever the case may be.
Right.
Now, Peggy, when you work on somebody, What are you trying to accomplish? I mean, is there a goal in mind, or is it just something that you start a massage and see where it leads, or how does that work? How does that process work?
That's a great question, because it's everybody's so individual. I may work on an individual that is just, you know, I just feel like chilling. And so Irene used to call it, you know, make sure you have your perfect little massage. I mean, it was, you had your one in your pocket that you could always pull out. Mm-hmm. And so that one I may use. But I may also have clients that say, you know, my back is killing me, or, you know, there's something going wrong. You know, my leg, I got pain going down my leg. What's nice about myomassology is we have, again, that toolbox. Mm-hmm. So where I can pull out those things that I know that I can go into pressure points, I can go into muscle mechanics, I can go into those different things very easily. Mm-hmm. Because we know those. And it's based on the individual. You will get individuals, like if you're at a spa, that usually are more of along the stress reducing massage. Mm-hmm. I've worked in gyms where they're the athletes, so they're looking for more of stretching, range of motion increasing, right, those types of things, fascial releases. And then on the medical end, there's a gamut. I mean, we're running, because some people are so sensitive to touch that we're using very little touch in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then we can get a little bit more aggressive in the end. Mm-hmm. It's a very individual basis.
Mm-hmm. Do you find it physically taxing sometime after you've given a few massages during a day? I mean, how many massages would you give during a day?
Probably for, I've only given in an 8-hour period of time, once I did 7, which I would never suggest anybody do.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot. Where I've worked, usually you only do like maybe 4 to 5 a day. Mm-hmm. In an 8-hour period of time, because you have a break. When I used to work at It Works, we would have notes that we would have to do, because we'd have some to send them to the physicians. Mm-hmm. So we would only work on a certain amount of people and then have the note. So, which is nice, because you got a break. Mm-hmm. But it can be very physically taxing if, right, and especially if you're working on a lot of people that need a lot of work. Mm-hmm. If I did 5 stress reducing compared to 5 very physical myofascial releases, it can be a little bit more taxing on the body. So you really need to gauge where you're at and what you're doing physically too. I mean, there's body mechanics that we also teach, which will help the students out, so they're not taxing their body. Mm-hmm. But we all are givers, and so we will have a tendency to give too much. Mm-hmm. And so I tell my students, back off. You know, right,
save yourself first. Right?
This is not the only person you're going to work on.
Mm-hmm. So. Right. Yeah, right. They might get carried away with somebody else, and that's all fine and good. And then the next person, wow, I'm exhausted. You know?
Right.
And I've heard that, though, that it can be very physically taxing when you really give it your all.
Right.
Now, when you do that, do you feel you have to, I don't know, take a short pause or rest between massages to really kind of regroup? And how do you keep your energy up for each massage?
It's an excellent question. Irene used to say, you know, you would always feel better after a massage. Mm-hmm. Or you should always feel better after a massage. And I think that's correct, because you may feel a little bit more tired, but usually your energy, because I find that the more I give, the more I get. Mm-hmm. So when I start out with the massage, I mean, I can pretty much go all day doing massage, and because I love doing it. Mm-hmm. So I find that if I love doing it, I can pretty much do it till the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And wake up again the next day and do it. But you really, the love for it, I think, needs to be there. Mm-hmm. And the caring and compassion for people really need to be there, because sometimes and you need to get massage yourself. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times we don't take care of ourselves, and so sometimes it makes it hard to mm-hmm. to go to work the next day when mm-hmm. you're a little sore.
Right. Yeah. Well, I would imagine, too, it's good for other people to work on you, because perhaps they can show you something that's worked for them in the past, and you might learn from them, and then it just carries on from there.
Oh, exactly. It's funny when you'll run into a really good therapist, and they'll have a few good moves, and so you'll trade moves. It's like, mm-hmm. okay, well, I've got this one, you can have that one.
It's like dance partners at you know, comparing right. steps or
exactly.
whatever.
Exactly. You know, yeah. you might if I steal that one, and it's yeah, like, no, right. no, go yeah. ahead and take right. that one. You can have, yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
so if it's, a, it's, yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I, and we all need the work. I mean, mm-hmm. we can all use a little bit of TLC, so. Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I think that's really interesting what you mentioned is if you really love something, obviously, it's not going to wear you out. It doesn't seem like work, you know,
right.
whereas if it's something you resent, like your previous job, but you wanted to get out, it sounded
right.
like you resented that and got
right.
tired of it, that's what drags you down. But when you do something you love, that helps create energy in you. Do you feel that's true?
I certainly do. I have I've had three jobs in all massage before and worked 6-7 days a week, and I had some of the best times.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I really do believe that loving what you do, getting up and going to work makes it that much easier. And that's what we should do. I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's what we're here to, we're not here to grunge it through. We're here to live our lives and live our lives to the best that we can.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that massage, I could really help people.
Mm-hmm.
in a certain degree. And so that's why I stayed in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I've been in it so long.
Mm-hmm. When you're working with people, do you find that they perhaps are so relaxed that perhaps they see things or get visions or experiencing things that might be of a metaphysical nature?
Well, sometimes you'll have like somatic releases to where I've had clients to where they will start crying on the
mm-hmm.
table, and they're not sure why.
Mm-hmm.
It could be somebody, or it could be maybe just a move that I did, or the song on the radio. And so Irene used to do what we called Touch for Health, and that was a good way to find out with the tissues in the body, because the tissues in the body hold memory.
Mm-hmm.
And in that memory, there are certain ways that we can go through and block and work through those blocks.
Mm-hmm.
But we tell our students, too, it's not unusual. It's not all that common, but it's not unusual to have your clients go through some somatic releases
mm-hmm.
on the table just because of you've created such a good atmosphere and allowance
mm-hmm.
for them to do that.
Right. Right.
So that's and that's a good thing, and
mm-hmm.
And a lot of people just fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
And
well, no, I think it helps to be so relaxed that sometimes, you know, without all the filters and stuff you normally have, things come through sometimes, and you might realize things or might have some type of, you know, great vision that, you know, might help you in life or whatever the case may be. And I would imagine that happens at least once in a while, like you're talking about.
Yes, it certainly does, because you do get in such a state to where you can, your mind becomes rested, which normally during the day you have so
mm-hmm.
much happening that's why meditation.
Mm-hmm.
We would meditate before class
mm-hmm.
Every day. Irene was very, we still do,
mm-hmm.
Because we are, I mean, especially when you're at a night class, you've been spent all day.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, okay, gather yourself, leave your stuff outside, bring yourself to class, and let's get focused. And that's all that, you know, that's really what that is. And I think that's why a lot of people get massage, is because it gives them that time
mm-hmm.
to just settle. This is all about me right now.
Right.
And get focused on what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those things come up, and it's a great place for it to happen. It's a very safe and secure place. So.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I would imagine people just enjoy it, like you're saying, to relieve the stress and to just totally unwind, and it's all about me. You know, maybe, you know, somebody's a giver. They're always trying to please other people. And
mm-hmm.
to take a short time out to take care of themselves is important, isn't it?
I couldn't agree more, especially these days. We are all giving so much of our time. It's not just to our work and our children, but our spouses and our partners. And we are on high all the time. As soon as we hit the ground, we are just run, run, run.
Mm-hmm.
And our adrenal glands don't appreciate that so much. So it's nice if we can calm
mm-hmm.
every now and again. And I think we should probably do it more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of kid with my students, but it's like, you know, if everybody got a massage once a week, I think road rage would be
really?
Just,
yeah.
just a little less, you know,
right.
just a
yeah.
little
well,
less.
That's a thought anyway.
Well, you know, it's a hopeful
it could
thought.
Help. Right, yeah. Well, you'll have to get that out there and start promoting that, and who knows.
Yeah,
know?
You never know. You never know.
Once again, I just want to remind everybody that this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This show is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My guest is Peggy Sue Dyer. She is a certified transformational life coach and teacher and a practitioner of myomassology. Now, when you give a massage, how long does that usually last?
Pretty much 60 minutes is our overall time. Sometimes it's longer if the individual chooses. I've given 1.5 to 2 hour massages, but basically it's an hour.
Mm-hmm. And that works? I mean, that 60 minutes is good?
60 minutes is usually really good, especially if you're real focused and your client is, you know, and everything's just clicking right along. It usually works really well, especially for a stress reducer, because it gives them enough time to relax. So we've tried to do half hour ones. It just doesn't, you just don't have that time to really, it's kind of like sleeping. You don't get those levels of relaxation, but it works really well.
Right. Well, I know sometimes, too, at different holistic fairs or what have you, I mean, it's just a really like a mini massage that might last 15 minutes, half an hour. I guess that's better than nothing, but obviously it's not optimal that a 60-minute massage would bring. I mean, all those results, right?
Right, right. Because you're not going to get usually the relaxation that you would receive in an hour massage, because the setting's usually different.
Mm-hmm.
Chair massages are nice. You know, you see them in the airports now, and I think that's
a great
thing.
Yeah, they're very popular.
They are, and I think it's great, because I think that little bit can really help. But to get the full benefit of the total relaxation and where the nervous system can kick out, I think the hour is probably one of your best bets.
Mm-hmm. Because I have seen them even in shopping malls now.
Yes.
There are places that do that kind of thing.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it's about time. But
right. Well, again, Christmas is coming up. People are going to be stressed out. They're probably going to need it.
You
know,
right.
That's probably their busiest season as well, you know. Now, do you work on people of all ages? Do you work on children as well as more mature individuals?
Yes, anywhere from as long as the adults within the vicinity. But normally the clientele is anywhere from 20 to 60, 80. I have worked on children before.
Mm-hmm.
The smallest child I've ever worked on was I think she was 6 months.
Wow.
They were having, she came into my clinic.
Mm-hmm.
The lady, she was having really hard problems with gas, the child was, and it was crying all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So mom and grandma were there, and she says, is there anything that you can do? And so we do a colon massage at Irene's, and I said, well, we can try the little colon massage. So we got the baby on the table, and I did it with my index finger.
Had to be gentle.
Got to be gentle and very small. And so we did the colon, and the baby initially stopped crying.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a great story, actually. And so we showed the grandma, we showed the mom how to do the colon, and they left. And about 2 years later, I saw this little girl come by the door, and we have these slats of mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Or glass. And I saw her go by, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and she started laughing. And she came back, and she was standing by that glass, and she kept laughing. And I was thinking, it can't be the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
So I opened up the door, and her mom was standing there, and I looked at her, and I says, is this the little girl? And she says, yeah. She says, oh, my God. And she just looked at me and kept laughing. I had never seen her again.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so interesting that I think she knew just from that little bit of work that we did together that day,
right.
And she was so small it's quite amazing the effect that you have on people.
Well, you never know how you're going to touch somebody, literally and figuratively,
right.
So you just never know.
Exactly.
But now, when you do that kind of work, I imagine that's got to be very rewarding when people come back to you and thank you for helping them out, helping them feel better, whatever the case may be.
Oh, exactly. That is, and that's, you know, and that's one of the reasons that we do what we do, because it is a very rewarding job when you can actually help somebody get out of pain or help somebody just sometimes when somebody gets on the massage table, it's there to talk and not so much for the massage. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we're different therapists. Mm-hmm. But in order to, you know, to just to be there to help someone out, I think it's a great honor. Mm-hmm. And to get paid for it, I mm-hmm. think is a great honor. Mm-hmm. And so I always tell my students, you know, be grateful for the person that's underneath your hand.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, well, yeah. They're helping to pay the bills,
they
too.
Certainly but, you know, they certainly
yeah,
are.
Yeah, but, I mean, you have to appreciate each individual for who they are.
You certainly
and
do.
I would imagine, too, just what you're saying, it might be kind of therapeutic. Maybe they just want to talk. Do you ever have a situation where not so much massage, but, you know, people want to just talk about things? Do you run into that?
Yeah, they will start our session, and we will start to chit-chat, and I try to stay out of the conversation, mm-hmm. and sometimes I'll try to redirect, right. So they'll try to calm, but a lot of times, if I know my client, and they've just had that one of those days,
right.
I just let them talk, because
right.
it is their hour, mm-hmm. they are paying for it,
right.
and it is my job as a therapist to be there for whatever their reason may be. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you find sometimes where it's going to be a talk session, and that's okay, too. Because if you're a good therapist, you stay focused enough to where you can do your job, mm-hmm. and they can do what they need to do, and you can still feel very good about your work and that they received what they needed to out of
right.
that session.
Right. Well, they say sometimes it's good for a person just to be able to talk about it. Maybe the other person's not really giving them advice, but just be able to express their concerns or whatever might be going on. I think that's also a health benefit as well, in addition to whatever massage they get.
Yeah, it's kind of like screaming into a pillow.
Uh-huh, okay. Do you do that often?
And again, that's why, you know, if you need to make sure that you're in tune with your client, mm-hmm. and if they need to talk, then that's exactly what they do. Mm-hmm. And I have some clients, we will chit-chat for the first 5 minutes, they get on the table, and that's the last I hear of them until the end of
yeah,
the session.
Right. Now, do you have any incense going, or I would imagine some type of background music? What do you use to kind of make them feel more relaxed?
Some clients pick their own music, mm-hmm. and that's great. Some clients don't want any music at all, especially if they're talkers. And I've had clients that will watch TV or listen yeah. to the TV in the background. So I've had Led Zeppelin playing.
All types of things.
All kinds of, and whatever they're, you know, but it's like I said, it's my job to make sure that I'm focused and take care of their needs and, mm-hmm. and whatever they want to listen to is.
Yeah. Well, my niece, who also does this, I know she told me one time a gentleman actually ate a pizza while she was doing a massage, and it's like, well, that's a little different, but she got through it, and again, it was something unique.
Right,
know?
Yes. So. And again, it's all about the client.
Right, exactly. Right. Whatever they want to do.
If he wants to eat pizza, then.
Right. As long as it's nothing illegal or immoral, perhaps. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Can, we can let you do anything you want.
Right, we can accommodate, right?
Right. Well, you know, like you say, they're the client. You got to keep them happy because
exactly.
they're the customer.
Exactly.
Now, getting into the life coaching area that you are starting to participate in, what made you decide to take that avenue?
I had when at Irene's Biomassology, we have a holistic palooza every year, mm-hmm. and Kathy decided that she was going to get a speaker.
Okay, who's Kathy?
Kathy Gauthier.
Okay.
I'm sorry, she just got married. Kathy Gauthier Skubic.
Okay.
She decided that she would like to have a speaker. And mm-hmm. so she invited this lady, her name is Mary Morrissey, to come and speak. And I had never heard of her, but me and a cohort of mine, we were going to do a class
right.
for the Palooza. And so I actually told Mary, I said, well, you were a parking spot for me, because I knew Kathy had went all out to get the name out, and so I could get a good parking spot. And so I went to her speak, because Kathy, who I respect, kept telling me, you know, Peggy, you really need to see this lady. You really need to hear her. She said she's the reason that I built this school.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, well, that's okay, because she's got a great school. So I was like, all right, so maybe it's worth an ear. So I went and I was listening to her, and it really caught my attention, because I was in a flux. I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do. I had worked as a CEO for It Works Integrated Therapies I spoke of earlier, and I got a little discouraged with the situations with the health insurance, and it, when I started out with it, it was great. I was doing a lot more patient-based, client-based, therapist-based managing, and then I started to deal a lot with other paperwork, and I found that that's probably not what I need to be doing. And so in 2007, actually, I got very ill, and I had to step down from CEO. And then I decided, well, that's probably not what I need to do. And I was looking for something to do. And Mary Morrissey was talking about life coaching, and I really never had heard about it before. And she made us an offer that if we could pay to get to California, that she was doing a Dream Builder Live event. And so I thought, you know what? I don't know exactly what she's talking about, but it sounds really, really good of transformation. And she was talking about laws, the law of attraction. And so it really rang for me when she was talking. It really hit my heart. So I went to California, found out what this whole thing was about, and decided at that point in time that I would like to become a certified transformational life coach. And through Mary's group of Life Mastery Institute in California, I became certified through them. And so that's what I have decided to do, because I've always liked helping people. That is one of the main things that I've been doing, and that's what I do. But this just gives me a different way of working with it. I've worked with the physical body a great deal. This allows me to get more into a thought process, and that our thoughts do change our life, and that because I saw it so well in mine before I even met her. So the transformation portion of it, I had already started going through. But this year has been quite interesting. So that's what basically got me into life coaching, because I can hit a lot more people. And I think that our thought processes, there's a lot of, we're not real happy, it seems like, these days.
Well, it depends on the person.
Right. And
some people
general,
are very, very unhappy. You're right.
And it's not so much the unhappiness. It's I think we are, I found myself, let me speak for myself, I found myself at the age of 50 being a little lost, and I needed to figure out what I needed to do, and I didn't have a lot of, I didn't want to take a lot of time to figure out what I want to do. I didn't really want to go back to college. That wasn't where I wanted to go. I love teaching massage. I wanted to get more out of the physical end of massage, and this just melds so well with what I'm already doing. I'm serving people. It's just on a different level.
So do you get a certificate from this institute?
Yes.
I mean, is that something that you can point to if people ask you about that?
Yep.
Okay, what is the basis of this program? Is there a certain direction you try to take a person in, or what are some of the tools you use in this respect?
In for the life coaching, what we do is it's a 10-step program. There's three major portions to it, and we do evocative coaching, which is I don't ever tell anyone what to do. It's not the kind of coaching. I am basically asking questions, and we start out by a blueprint. And what I mean by blueprinting is that we need to have something in mind that we want to go for. And it's just not a goal. A goal is to clean out your garage. It's a good goal, but it's just that. It's a goal. I want to know what you love. I want to know what really you really sparks you. And so then we start with a blueprint, because if you want to build a house, you have to have a blueprint. Builder will build you anything you want. So we start off with a vision. That's our blueprint. And then we go through the Dream Builder, which is a series of CDs that Mary has put together Mary's been doing transformational coaching and working in this field for 40 years. And we also have a workbook that goes with it. And where I come into play is for a half an hour each week, you get to talk to me. And what we do is we go through the lessons that you've done. And what is the main thing about the program, it's designed so the questions that are asked are thought-provoking and make you come up with bigger answers. It's not, how do you do the laundry? It's really, what do you want? And it puts you into a different type of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That was like I told Mary, I said, I will never think the same way again. I work with the law of attraction. What do I want in my life? And so we start to look at those things. And as we go through the CDs and through the workbook, things start to show up because you put your mind, right? You put your attention where your attention is. So if I have this vision and I'm working from this vision, I'm putting my attention on something that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Your dream comes from you. You don't go to it. It comes from you. So within that, that's how we start to bridge, as we call the second phase, is bridging, because you can't figure out how, if the dream is big enough, you're not sure how to get from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do is we do bridging, and then at the end, we do the building. Then, okay, this is how we start to build, and we have different tools that we use, and that stay with that person until the end of the 3 months. It's a 3-month, 13-week
mm-hmm.
Program, and you keep that system, you keep that technology, it doesn't go anywhere, and it literally changes the way that you think and the thought processes that you have if you allow it to do that. A lot of people will get stuck, and we call them paradigms. Paradigms are just old friends that prefer you to stay where you are. And as I mean old friends, it's just old attitudes that you have. And so like a paradigm of mine was I just didn't have enough money to get to California. Well, once I put my attention and my intention was to do this, the money came. It didn't just fall in my lap, but the money came and I went to California. I've been to California 3 times. I've been to Boston, Massachusetts. I've became certified. I've put my intention on my attention, or my attention on my intention. And my intention is to do the best I can in transformational life coaching and myomassology. And I wanted to travel, and I've done a great deal of traveling this year. So in this, it's almost like I want to just go, I have this huge gift that I want to share.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we can form our thoughts in such a way to where we can have a better life, then I don't want what you have and you don't want what I have. We all have different dreams. We all have different talents. I believe that God has given us all separate talents that we need to nurture. And we have a tendency to get stuck into jobs or positions that we don't think that we can get out of, or, you know, this is just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll wait till I retire. And so in transformational coaching, that's what we want to take a look at. And if you would like to change things, because some people don't want to change things, and that's fine. I'm not here to change the world. As Irene would say, you know, we change the world by one back at a time. But if you do want to look at the way the thought, you work with your thoughts, and if you would like to expand your life in different areas, because we work in different domains, 4 domains, health, relationship, vocation, and then time and money. And we break it down, and like I may run into a client that 2 of those domains, they're really good. My relationships are good. My time and money is fine. The other 2 domains I would like to take a look at. And so those are the things that we really, really focus through the vision or through the blueprint that they put together.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the guidance from a coach, and coaching is interesting, because I will get a lot of clients to say, well, I can do this on my own. And that's what I always thought too. You know, it always reminds me of when I was younger, I played baseball, and as a kid, as a girl, I could catch. I couldn't throw really well, but I could catch. So they put me in the outfield. So, but as I got older, I went to try out for a team, and I said, well, I play outfield. And so they put me in the outfield, and they hit a ball to me, and I caught it. But I couldn't throw. I didn't have a really good arm for long. I had a good arm short, but I couldn't didn't have a good long. So the coach comes up to me, and she says, have you always played outfield? And I said, I've always played outfield since I've been a kid. She says, have you ever thought of catcher? And I said, you know, really? And she said, well, try it on, because our catcher, she's not going to be here a lot during the year. She's going to have to take vacations. So we're really looking for a catcher. She says, because you can catch, you got a really good short arm. She says, but your long arm is not good. I said, okay. Right. So that's what I did. And I thought that was the best thing in the world, because I loved being a catcher. Because you are in the game every time.
Pitch.
Right. And you have to know what first base and second base. And so out of going, oh, my God, I have to play this because I just wanted to play ball, that I found that I love catching. And it was, but it was the coach that seen something that I never saw. And I know why they put me out when I was a little kid, because I was a girl and I could catch. So
right.
That coach was
stick her over here. Yeah, we'll put her in right field.
Field.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I mean, and that was perfect for that coach at that point in time. So I always put myself in that way. She gave me the guidance that I needed that I would have never even recognized, and it changed the way that I came to the ball game. I was the catcher.
Right.
I was in the game. I was every time, and I had a blast.
You were looking forward to the game instead of maybe just dreading it. Or
right, and chewing off mosquitoes.
And what's that?
Chewing off mosquitoes. I mean, you know, you do that on an outfield, you know.
It's like, yeah, right, you know, right.
So, it made for a better game, without a doubt.
Once again, this is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. This is Metaphysically Speaking. I'm your host, Mike Holloway. My guest this month is Peggy Sue Dyer. She is a certified transformational life coach and teacher, and she's also a practitioner of myomassology. And we're talking about the life coaching aspect of her life right now. Now, I think one of the biggest things you probably have to overcome when working with people is it fear? Because people sometimes are afraid to change, and sometimes you mentioned the paradigms, you know, people want to hold you back. A husband, a friend, brother, or sister, whoever it might be, isn't that one of the toughest things to overcome, fear?
Mike, it's probably the biggest one, because people will say that it may be, like you said, the spouse, but it's not the spouse, it's the fear of what the spouse would say. And it's the fear of, say, well, you know, what would my family and friends think? What do you mean? You need a life coach? What, you know? So I think, and it's not so much, what they would say, it's fear of what would people think about me, or it's money. I just don't have the money. It's always an underlying, and fear, the lack is one of our big ones too, because it's either I don't have the time, I don't have the money, I'm too old, I'm too young, I just don't have something.
Right.
And it's probably the biggest paradigm that we have is fear. It will keep us from doing anything.
Right.
And it will keep us from doing, and again, those paradigms are our friends. We just have to know how to work with them, because they won't go anywhere. Fear will never leave us. I mean, fear is a good thing. You don't want to go, okay, there's the end of the bridge. You know, you may want to stop. But we need to be able to go, okay, fear, I got it. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. But this is what I need to do to run my life. Because fear will always stand in our way. And it's unfortunate that we don't run our lives because of fear. Because I know I was there. What do you do now? I'm already in this job. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be. I said I was going to do. And I didn't find that was the best way to live.
Right. Well, people are afraid sometimes, I think, to step out of their comfort zone, whatever it might be, because just what we've been saying, it's the unknown. It's the being unsure of what the future might hold. Again, you can come up with any excuse you want, but I would imagine, though, if you try to motivate a person, do you find it frustrating at all when you're really, really trying hard to help this person, that they don't seem to respond. Does that get frustrating?
It gets frustrating. Well, it's not so much frustrating. It just becomes a bigger interest, if you may. Because usually when somebody, if you say somebody's not really moving in a direction that you think they might need to go, it just gives us an opportunity for a bigger teaching opportunity, because it's like, okay, what now is coming up to where, why aren't we going in the direction that we need to be going? And so it gives us a line of interest that we need to pay attention, notice what we notice. Because a lot of times that will happen too, because then I get into a fearful lack. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, wait a minute. Their process is happening the way it's supposed to be happening. Sometimes as myomassologists or coaches, we'll get a little hard on ourselves because we're not making the change that we're supposed to make. Well, we're not going to make it anyways. They have to make it. So especially in coaching. But we have tools that we supply, and if they choose to use them, is where sometimes it could get a little frustrating if they're not seeing the progress, but they're not using the tools. But again, that's just an opportunity to learn more. And my job as a coach is to bring that to their attention, mm-hmm. and go, okay, this is just a paradigm coming up. What do we need to take a look at? Because this is going to stand in the way of doing this. This was your dream. This was your blueprint. Now let's get to it. And that's what happens a lot of times, is people will go, yep, I want that red car, I want that, I want that, and the universe is going, great. And then all of a sudden they go, a paradigm jumps in and goes, oh, I can't afford it, I've got kids, I can't be doing it, you know, so that's,
Right, any excuse they can think of,
anything, right. You know? So it's, and so that's where the coach comes into play. And Mary has set up such a program that if you work this program, if you don't see results, you're not doing the program. Mm-hmm. And because it's a system, it's literally a system. It's just like learning how to drive. It's that, you know, the system of putting your seatbelt on. This is the brake. These are the things. These are the tools that you have. And once you know how to use them, and you use them on a consistent basis, it works. So it's, but it is such a, it's a great system, mm-hmm. if you work it.
Right.
And same thing with massage, you know, the more you feel, the more you feel, but you have to feel first.
Right. You can't just talk the talk. You have to walk the walk.
Exactly.
As well.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
Now, when you're working with people, you said that this course lasted, how long was it?
3 months.
3 months.
Yep.
Now, after that 3 months, do you periodically check in with people, or do they check in with you? Is it an ongoing thing, or is it just 3 months, that's it, see you later, good luck?
Well,
you know, whatever it
nice
might be.
Nice seeing you.
Yeah, right.
No, well, after the 3 months, what I do is, what I like to do is check in at least once a month to see, mm-hmm. how everything's going. Sometimes people will choose to coach with me again. Or they have decided that, I'm good, because they also do get the CDs. So, mm-hmm. it's not that I'm leaving them with nothing. I should leaving them with a huge package, and that is my goal. It's just like with massage. If I need to give you everything that I have to make your life better. And with this, why I like this is because when I leave massage, I may be called back in another week. In life coaching, I may only see you for 13 weeks. But because if we've done such a good job, I may not see you again. Mm-hmm. And that's not a bad thing. But I know in my life, I love to be coached, because I'm coached. I will probably never not be coached, because it keeps me, I'm always asking questions. And if I have a coach, it just keeps me focused. It keeps me in line with what I need to do. I don't need somebody in my ear every day. I certainly do need a little bit of inspiration. And that was one of the things with massage too, is we tell our therapist to make sure that you try and keep in communique with other therapists, because it's lonely out there, mm-hmm. you know, being a therapist and a life coach at times. So, you know, you try and get groups, to keep you focused. So no, I don't want to leave them on a 13 weeks, only if they're ready. Mm-hmm. But I want to make sure and do the best job that I can to make sure that they get what they want. Mm-hmm. And that's what they want. Mm-hmm. And whatever they want, I want for them.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have like a refresher course along the way where you perhaps get together and go over a few things, again, compare notes with other coaches, so to speak, so that, again, maybe something that works for somebody else you can incorporate into your practice, something like that?
Yeah, I have actually right now on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Actually, I'm missing a call tonight, but Mary is on right now. But I have coaches that have been coaching for years that I have group calls. And so I'm able to ask them questions about maybe a client that I have or something that I want to implement and to get an idea, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Usually not a bad thing, but to better serve my clients, just like in massage, I've always went for other classes to be able to serve my clients the best that I can. And one of the reasons I stuck with them in Irene's is because I had this group of people that were so willing to give me advice, especially as a new therapist, just going out into the field. They were a great deal of help and support. So that's why we have an alumni at Irene's too, that we try to keep, you know, the therapists so they can come back and do classes. And so I don't have one set up, but for the clients that I have right now, but they can always call me. They can always email me. Always with my massage clients too. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much an open door policy with me, because I may not see that client that day doesn't mean I'm not their therapist, and just because I haven't talked to that coaching their or client doesn't mean that I'm not their coach. Mm-hmm. So I want to keep that open for
right. But you may not really be on call 24 hours a day, right? I mean, you try to establish that fact that, yes, I want to work with you and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help you achieve your goals, but let's draw some boundaries here that you're not calling me at 2 o'clock in the morning and saying, hey, what do I do about this? Or I just had this vision or whatever it might be.
Right.
You try to establish certain ground rules?
Yes, we certainly do. Yes, we have a contract that we go through. We have a set time, and we set that time. And I'm very big on, if it's 9 to 9:30, it is 9 to 9:30. I'm a respecter of time, without a doubt, their time and mine. But I do want, I just want to, because I really don't have a whole lot of my clients calling me, but you never want to just, you know, kind of say, you know, see ya.
Mm-hmm.
I just not how I roll, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, there is definitely, because everybody needs guidelines.
Right.
Everybody needs structure.
Right. Well, I'm sure the occasional, whatever, late night phone call you can deal with, but on a consistent basis, obviously, you can't accept that.
No, that's not. Yeah, and most of them, they're too busy out doing other things, too, anyway. So, yeah, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist. So, but you know, you always, it's just another one. If you serve people, you know, you want to kind of stretch your arm out a little bit further.
Mm-hmm. So if people want to, how could they get in touch with you?
I have a website. It's PeggySueDyerCoach.com, and you can go through there. I also have an email, and you feel free to email me at any time, and that is MissPeg27@Hotmail.com. And I work at Irene's Mile Massage Institute, and that is where in December, I do believe it's on the 14th, I'm having a workshop. And you can always go into Irene's irenes.edu, and they have a list, and also I have them listed on my website. I'm also going to be putting together workshops, biking workshops, because I'm a big biker, and but I'll have to wait till summertime to do those. But I'm also going to be posting those on my website, too, so I've always got something going on.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about, like, cross-country biking, or not, like, spinning, like a spinning class?
No, like actually, we'll take our bikes out, and we'll go for, like, a 10-15-mile ride, and we'll do a workshop in between. I like to do a lunch, and so we have a lunch, and so, because I like to do the outdoors and bring that into life coaching, because I think people get a lot more inspiration outside. I love doing that, So I love bike riding, and I know I get a great deal of inspiration from it. So I'm going to start those up and see if we can have a good time.
Yeah.
Doing some trails in Michigan.
Oh, yeah, lots of trails, lots of great parks.
But, yes.
It sounds great. Sounds very rewarding. I think that you probably feel very rewarded when you get to actually help somebody and they say, wow, thank you for everything you've done for me.
Exactly. I had a client and she says, Peg, she says, you moved me. Okay, great.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So
that's
it's like, and so it is. It's a great rewarding career.
Mm-hmm. Well, Peggy, thank you very much for being on the show this month. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate it.
Right, I just want to say that I want to thank my special guest this month, Peggy Sue Dyer. She is a certified transformational life coach and teacher, also a practitioner of myomassology, which is massage therapy. It's really nice to talk to people that are helping other people and they feel that they are being rewarded as well as rewarding other people with their service as well. I also want to thank my producer for this edition of Metaphysically Speaking, Mr. Brandon McKay. I always appreciate his help. He does a great job each and every month, so I want to thank him. And with all that being said, I just want to thank you for listening and have a great day, everybody.
There's a part of our world that we pay little attention to. Here, an ant drags a seed five times its own size, and a bee sips from a drop of dew. And down here, toxic chemicals and carcinogens are leaching into our environment. They come from objects that we look past every day, littered cigarette butts. Let's stop the toxic litter. Learn more at RethinkButts.org, brought to you by Legacy and Leave No Trace.
WHFR Dearborn. Welcome to the Best of Broadway. Today we're going to play the score of Rodgers and Hammerstein's The Sound of Music. This is the movie score, and it stars Julie Andrews, Christopher Plummer, Peggy Wood, and it was Robert Wise was producer-director. We're going to be very brief in our commentary because we want to get the as much of the music in. The world premiere of The Sound of Music was held at the Rivoli Theater in New York City on March 2, 1965. It played there for a record 93-week engagement, igniting a momentum that went on to shatter records in all areas of popular entertainment. It was nominated for 10 Academy Awards and received 5, including Best Director for Robert Wise, Picture of the Year from 1966 to 1972. It was the number one box office champion, according to Variety Survey. This is the station making waves, WHFR.FM, and we'll now begin with the score of The Sound of Music.